Welcome to Power in the Word program, brought to you by the Redeemed Christian Church of God Solution Center, the house of prayer for all nations, where the Word changes your world. Today, our spiritual mother in the Lord, Pastor Dr. Esther Obaseke, continues to empower the family through teaching on the series themed The Family Altar. Be sure to follow from beginning to the end of the series and you will be blessed.
I decree your homes shall become Jerusalem in the name of Jesus. Signs and wonders shall begin from Jerusalem. Signs and wonders must begin from your homes. Your home is a place for signs and wonders. We normally rush to the church for signs and wonders. Thank God for that. And one day we shall gather again. It is the will of God that we shall gather again, according to Hebrews 10:25. But why we wait? Your home can become a center for signs and wonders. Because the Bible says that signs and wonders, demonstration of the power of God, demonstration of the glory of God, demonstration of the counsel of God, should begin from our homes. I see God changing the names of your homes. Your home shall no longer be a center for affliction. It shall no longer be a center of oppression. It shall no longer be a center of wickedness. It shall not be a center of drunkenness. It shall no longer be a center of immorality. Your home shall not be a center of divorce and separation. Your home shall not be a center for magic, for witchcraft, for troubles. In the name of Jesus, it shall not be a center for drug addiction and drug abuse. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, wherever you are, thunder amen. I declare your home shall be a center of signs and wonders. May your home become Jerusalem for the end time revival, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's look at this point. What triggers revival in our homes? What triggers revival in our homes? Number one, create an enabling environment for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your home. You need to create an enabling environment for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your home. Recently, CNN gave us a news that domestic violence has increased, escalated in a certain part of the world, in the Western part of the world. They were giving statistics that they don't know what to do. That just staying at home, these telling people stay home, has escalated domestic violence. Now, how do you interpret this? It's very simple. It actually shows that going to work and our businesses are escape routes to run away from our homes. Can I repeat myself? It actually shows that when we wake up in the morning and we are going to work, when we go to our business places, we are looking for a way to escape the trouble at home. And no wonder some of us spend all our days working, all our years working. We only come home to sleep like in a hotel. Some people's homes have become hotels because we come to hotels to sleep. We go to work, go to our conferences, and enter our bedrooms to sleep. So our homes have become hotels and they are no longer homes. Why is it that we have escalation of domestic violence? Because we have asked people to stay home. Because they are staying with total strangers. Husband and wife cannot talk. They used to only send WhatsApp in the day. And they ask each other, hey, I'm coming home, pick the child. That's the only relationship a husband and a wife has. So now we are all locked down. We have to sit down and be looking at each other. So if you are a couple that have nothing in common, there's nothing you guys have been talking apart from pick up the child, drop the child. Have you entered the market? Pick up this. That's all. Ah, God have mercy on you. Because at this time, you don't know what to do with yourself. So, domestic violence escalated because total strangers are living together. Meanwhile, there is supposed to be a home. Thank God that we have not had that news in Kenya, and we shall not hear it in the name of Jesus Christ. If you need revival in your home, you need to intentionally create an enabling environment. You need to welcome the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does not come where we don't wait for him. Can I repeat myself? If you remember how he came in Acts chapter 2, and how Jesus spoke to the disciples in Luke chapter 24, to go and wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit only comes, pours himself in a place where people have been waiting for him. And you cannot wait for him in quarreling. You cannot wait for him in unforgiveness. You cannot wait for him in bitterness. You cannot wait for him in jealousy. You cannot wait for him with striving. You cannot wait for him with greed. You cannot wait for him with injustices in our homes. No. So if we want to see revival within this time that we are behind shut doors, we are at home, intentionally create a peaceful environment. Create an altar of peace. I'm sure some of you think I'm just talking about prayer. No. Prayer is part of the altar. But before you begin to pray, create an enabling environment. There is an environment that enables the Holy Spirit to manifest himself. There is an environment that enables the Holy Spirit to show himself strong and mighty. If you look at Acts chapter 21, from 8 to 9. Acts 21, 8 to 9. The Bible says, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Which did prophesy. The ministry of evangelist Philip started from home. From home. Don't come and tell me that you have mighty things to do for God and your home is disrupted. I don't have respect for people that in their homes, they are something else, and in the church, they are somebody else. I don't have respect and regard for them. Because that is hypocrisy. The evangelistic ministry of this man started from home. He had four daughters that prophesied. In other words, his home was in order before he started prophesying. All of us are asking God, lift up this bam. We want to go to church. We want to go to church. Even me, the pastor, I want us to come back to church. But while we are waiting to return, create an enabling environment for your sons and your daughters to receive spiritual gifts at home. For your siblings to know the Lord. You belong to so many platforms. You will not forward anything about God to those platforms. You receive a lot of videos. You receive powerful sermons. You will not send it to any platform. You will not share with your family members. You will not pray for it with your family members because you want to come to church to pray. No, this is the time to practice. Actually, we have been in the church as a training ground. Right now is practical. Can I say it again? Practical. All those things you have learned from us, do it at home now. Take time to study the Bible at home on your own. Receive revelations on your own. Prepare messages on your own. And if you have children, lay hands on them every day. Let them receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are not in school now. Let them receive the Holy Ghost baptism. Pray with your spouse. Let them see the word of God the way they've never seen before. Somebody said we may never have this kind of opportunity again in life. And I believe it. This is an opportunity we never bargained for. Some people are on holiday they didn't plan for. Some companies, thank God, are still paying salaries and people are on holiday, come to work, close by 2, close by 4, go home. What are you doing with this time? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time to raise an altar for God. This is the time to ensure that our homes are receiving the revival that was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. The gatemen, the house helps, everybody, the gardeners, those of you who are privileged to have such people in your lives, let them receive the Holy Spirit, the drivers, the cooks. Have this time that you've never had before to share the word of God in your home with them. One of our sons got saved in a family devotion time. We had gone for holiday in the U.S. And I was the one leading that family devotion. And after the devotion, I asked people to get saved. We were in somebody's house. We were being housed in somebody's house. And the woman brought out all her children, and our son was very small. When I finished leading the family devotion, I asked, is there anyone here who wants to get saved? The only fellow that got saved that day was our son. He said, Mommy, I want to get saved. And I led him to Christ. Years down the line, we went again for holiday in the U.S. in California. I was privileged to preach in the church on that day. When we came back, he came to the room where I was and said, Mommy, I want to talk to you. Can you close this door? I closed. He knelt down. He said, Mommy, after your sermon today in church, I said, I'm not really sure whether that born again I did when I was very small, whether I really understood it. I really want to understand this. Mommy, lay hands again on me. Lead me through salvation again. I led him through the salvation prayer. And today, when you ask him, he will narrate those two scenarios for you very well. But do you know what? From time to time, we still ask them. I hope you are still saved. We still make sure that these people, these children, that their testimony is sure. Can I encourage you today? Please, today, not tomorrow. Procrastination can be very expensive. Write it down. Procrastination is very expensive. Have a 20 minutes or 30 minutes prayer with your family. When you finish, ask each one of them, are you saved? If they are saying, something is wrong, lead them to salvation. If they say, well, lead them to salvation. They should be sure of their salvation. They should be able to narrate their episode of salvation. Tonight, ask everybody in your home, are they saved? If they are not, lead them to Christ. And let your family, the surname of your family becomes Jesus Christ. Tonight, by faith, I give you a new surname. That surname is the family of God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Feel like jumping out of this chair. That family should be the family of God. I give you a new surname. And even yourself, reevaluate your own salvation. Am I really saved? Have I missed it? You can actually begin again.
That was such an insightful teaching from the woman of God.
Now we have come to a very important part of this program where if you would like to give your life to Christ, we urge you to kindly say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I confess that I am a sinner, but starting today, I confess of all of my sins. I ask you to come into my life, to make me whole, make me new, and to change me. From today, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord over my life, and I will never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have just said that prayer with me, a big congratulations to you. You are now born again, a bona fide child of God.
Please keep track of our online services and be part of the fellowship. Let's connect in the airwaves to keep the spirit alive. Monday and Fridays, 8 p.m. East African time, join Pastors Prince and Esther Obaseke for online prophetic prayers. Wednesdays, we have our online faith clinic teachings from 4:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Sundays, online services start from 11 a.m. All on our Facebook channel, that is RCCG Solutions Center Family, and YouTube channel RCCG Solutions Family. We've also purposed to keep you inspired with daily sermon portions of both Pastors Prince and Esther Obaseke. Tune in, subscribe, share, comment, and drop your comments. God bless you all.
For any inquiries, prayers, counseling, or to even get the full version of today's ministration, please contact us using the numbers 0720-575-151 or 0721-599-013 or lastly 0721-501-955. And with that, we come to the end of today's broadcast. We thank you so much for tuning in. Till next week, same time, same station. It's bye-bye for now.